That's what we're about here today, is grace. Because none of us would be here if it weren't for God's grace and mercy, and none of us would know Christ without his grace and mercy. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you today for your grace that brought us to life, that chose us from eternity, and that has rescued us from our sins. Father, we are often wrapped up in what we can do and our wisdom and our abilities. We thank you for them, but Father, our salvation is all of what you have done and nothing that we have done. And thank you that we have received your great gift for us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, today as we look at that grace, I pray that you would open our eyes to see how great a blessing this is. The mere fact of our salvation that we will celebrate for eternity. Help us to see how bad our sin is. Help us to see how holy you are. And help us to see the great rescue of the cross of Christ. May you do this in our midst even today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I mentioned last week that we were taking a break from Jeremiah for 6 or 7 weeks, and we'll be having some missionaries in. I'll be going on vacation and things like that. But for this Sunday and next, what I want to do is to overview the book of Ephesians for us. And this, I hope that as I do this, this will help you be able to better use this book, because I know often Ephesians is one of the books you might turn to for encouragement or for guidance. And so I want to help you understand this book better by not spending 2 years in it, but by spending two weeks in it. And how I'm going to do that, I'm going to focus on the two prayers in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, to help you see how this book is fit together, okay? So Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read the chapter for us. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Our text divides easily into two parts, as you can probably see. We have our blessings given to us in verses 3 to 14, and then we have a prayer to see those blessings in verses 15 to 23. So those are the two parts of the message today. First, Paul announces our spiritual blessings given to us in Jesus. He announces them. And secondly, he prays that we would see our spiritual blessings. So first, announcing our spiritual blessings in Christ. Announcing our spiritual blessings in Christ. Now we could spend many days, many weeks investigating all these blessings, but they are many. So I'll focus on six main blessings given in these verses. We'll overview them quickly. So six main spiritual blessings. Verse 4, we are chosen to be holy. We are chosen before the world began. So before the earth came into existence, before Adam and Eve walked around in the Garden of Eden, God said to each of his children, I love you. That's what it means to be chosen in love, is that God said to that person, I love you, and I will save you. God set his saving love on certain people that he would save. And he did this so that we would be holy, okay? We were chosen to be holy. This means when I am saved, I no longer belong to me. I belong to God. I am set apart to him. So God said, I love you, so that we would be his. Secondly, verse 5, we are predestined to be children. Predestined to be children. So we are predestined to be adopted as children. So predestined, that God, it means that God had a plan. God had a plan for us. And that plan was to take people who were his enemies and to make them his children. And that's what verse 6 says, that we are accepted in the beloved. That means that we were once enemies, but now we are children and friends of God because of what Christ has done for us. So God's children have his full love, they have his full protection, and an unbelievable inheritance. Chosen to be holy, predestined to be children. Verse 7, we are redeemed through his blood. Redeemed through his blood. So redeemed is a fancy word that means rescued or purchased. The idea is like a slave being freed from slavery. But we are freed, or we are rescued from our sins. So sin is what keeps us from knowing God. We were made to know God and love him and to worship him, but sin messed that all up, our rebellion against God. So God took care of our sin problem through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when it says Jesus' blood, it's Jesus' violent, sacrificial death for us. Jesus' blood is his violent, sacrificial death for us. So Jesus took death and hell for us so that we could know God. Verse 7 makes it clear. Redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. So this blessing isn't for everyone. This is a blessing only for those who have trusted that Jesus died in their place. The blessing of being forgiven is only for those who have Jesus Christ. God loved the whole world and sent his only Son to die for us. The blessing of forgiveness is only for those who are who belong to Jesus Christ. So the way to be forgiven is to give up living for yourself and to trust Jesus and to trust that Jesus has given his life for you. So that was blessing number three, forgiveness. Fourth blessing is the knowledge of his mystery. That's verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So that doesn't mean that God is really confusing and now all of a sudden we can figure God out. Well, it is true that God, we can't figure God out. We never will, or we would be God. But this word for mystery is the idea of something hidden, which is now revealed. Something hidden that is now revealed. We find out later in the book of Ephesians that the church was a mystery. It was hidden, but now the church is revealed. So God's plan was to take Jews and non-Jews and put them together in something called the church and to show how amazing he is through the church. That mystery was hidden in the Old Testament, but now is revealed to us. So not only do we get to know about the church, we get to participate in the church. We are the church. So that's what God is doing. We now know it, that the church is his plan, and we get to be a part of it. So that's number four. Number five, we have been given an inheritance. Verse 11, given an inheritance. So God has this amazing future planned for us, and we only know a very small bit of it, but we are told to look forward to what God will do for us. I mean, some of the things we know that God's going to judge the wicked people. He is going to save his children. He's going to make all things new. There will be no more pain or tears or sorrow. And we will worship and enjoy God forever. That and more is for everyone who has Jesus. That is an incredible inheritance that God has planned for us. And then the last blessing we'll focus on is that we have been sealed by the Spirit. That is in verse 13. Sealed by the Spirit. So each believer has been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that God will keep his promise. So God says, I have this great inheritance for you. Now, you probably have people say, well, you've won the lottery. You just send this money to Africa and then you'll get like $2 million. That sounds like a scam. It probably is. So when God says, I have this great inheritance for you, you're like, well, show it. What God does is give us the Holy Spirit to continually remind us that we indeed have something amazing to look forward to. The Holy Spirit lives inside each one of us to remind us that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So we got many blessings, and that's only six of them. We could go further into these verses and investigate them. But here's a few more points about our many blessings. The blessings are Trinitarian. You probably weren't expecting that word, really, were you? The blessings are Trinitarian. They're from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God planned all these blessings for us. Jesus accomplished all these blessings for us. And the Holy Spirit gives these blessings to us in his salvation. Did you notice that in verse 3 it says that these blessings are spiritual blessings? That doesn't mean that they're kind of like ambiguous and you really can't hold them down. That means they're given to us by the Holy Spirit. Did you notice how many times our passage said to the praise of the glory of his grace? Three times. You have what the Father did in verses 3 to 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. And then in verse 12, from verses 7 to 12, we had what the Son has done for us, to the praise of his glorious grace. And then from verses 13 and 14, we have what the Spirit does, to the praise of his glory. So that's a fun one to say, well, yes, Paul does believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is all for God. Now, when we talk about grace that my wife sang about, and we talk about God's amazing grace, what is a God's amazing grace? It's this, that he has given all of this to us. God's grace is his givingness, that he just freely bestows these blessings on us. It's not like grace is a blessing. Grace enables God to give us all blessings. It is his givingness toward us. And only through Jesus can we get all this grace, all these blessings. And if you notice, if you read through there again, there's all this in him or in whom that's all referring to Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes possible all of these blessings through his death and resurrection. Also, these blessings are to God's glory. I read those to the praise of his glorious grace. Now, let me be clear. Salvation, we need salvation very badly. I hope you all know that, is that without salvation, we go to hell. Okay, so we all need salvation very badly. So salvation is great news for us. But you know what? Salvation is even better for God. Because when God saves us, he gets praise and glory, which makes him look great. So the blessings that are given to us are great for us, but they also praise God to the praise of the glory of his grace. And that's what heaven is about, saying how great is God that he saved us. And then the last point about the blessings is that the blessings are lavish. The blessings are lavish. So God is not a stingy giver. God is not a stingy giver. Notice halfway through verse 7. The riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us. So rich grace that's abounded toward us. So the Niagara Falls of grace are given toward us. So during the summer, I really enjoy grilling on my charcoal grill. Like many men, I have a fair bit of pride in my grilling abilities, which I guess need to be humbled once in a while. So one day for supper, I decided to grill lamb chops and venison burgers. And it was just a very poor combination to put on the grill at the same time. The lamb chops were very fatty, and there was all this flame shooting up out of the grill. And the venison burgers were as dry as a desert. And so when I brought supper into my family, I was like, I don't know if we'll be able to eat this. And so I took all the lamb chops and I kind of salvaged the remains around the charred parts. And my family was choking down the venison burgers. And I was like, are you sure you want to eat those? It was one of those nights, like if we could eat frozen pizza, we would be having frozen pizza that night. It was bad. But it wasn't a great supper, but it was sufficient. We filled our tummies. God provided for us. We should be thankful. That's not how God makes supper. God spreads a feast on a table that goes on and on and on and on. There's plenty of room for all of his children. The food never runs out, and it's an abundant feast, and it's delicious. Now, I'm sure, I hope all of you have read through Ephesians chapter 1. And read about these spiritual blessings. And you've said, like, Pastor, yes, I know. I've read Ephesians 1 before. I kind of know what's happening here. Yes, God has blessed us with all these things because of what Jesus has done. Now, God's salvation of his children is the richest, the greatest, and the best blessing we could ever have. The question, do we act like it? Do you feel like salvation is the greatest thing ever? So this morning, when you woke up, did you wake up? What was the greatest blessing that you wanted when you woke up this morning? Let's be honest. The greatest blessing I could have now is more sleep. Like, I don't really care about anything more, but I just want more sleep. That would be the greatest blessing ever. Or the greatest blessing ever would for your pain to go away, your physical or emotional pain, for it to go away. Or the greatest blessing if you wouldn't feel so lonely or life wouldn't be so stressful. Like, that would be the greatest blessing ever. Those are the kind of things we deal with. Like, we want God to bless us over here. Whether you felt like it or not, you already have the greatest blessing. It was given to you through Christ. You belong to the Father as his child. So, Christians will struggle until the day we die to count salvation as our greatest blessing. Okay, just, you're a young Christian, you're like, you know, well, I just wish I could get a hold of this and be fine for the rest of my life. No, that's not happening. This is going to be a struggle to the day you die to count this blessing as the greatest blessing in the world. God has not left us alone. That's why Paul prays in verses 15 through 19. He knows that his readers have been richly blessed, but he also knows they desperately need help to see it. That's why Paul prays. So, second part of our passage then is seeing our spiritual blessings in Christ. Seeing our spiritual blessings in Christ. So, verse 15 begins with, in the King James, wherefore. You could translate this, for this reason. Spiritual blessings. He just lined them all up for us, for this reason, or wherefore. So in view of the rich blessings of salvation, Paul prays. And he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So he sees these people, he sees their faith, he sees their love, and he says, I know that you have these blessings because you have believed in Christ, and your belief in Christ is shown in your love for other Christians. So Paul says, I know you guys have these blessings. So he says, I pray in view of these spiritual blessings, knowing that they belong to you. And this is what he prays. So first he gives thanks, and then he gives his main request in verse 17. So the main request is in verse 17. That God may give them the Spirit, that should be capital S, Holy Spirit, that God may give them the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So he's asking God that God would work in their lives by His Holy Spirit. The Spirit would give them wisdom and revelation so they could know God in the knowledge of Him, so they could know God. So to put it simply, what's Paul praying here? That the Spirit will help the believers know God better. The Spirit would help believers to know God better. He's simply asking for the Spirit's help for us to grow in our relationship with God. Let me introduce you to someone in this room. He is always here, but you can't see him. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is God. And His job is to bring Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer, and one thing He does is help us see God and God's amazing salvation. Okay? So maybe you haven't realized that the Holy Spirit, you are dependent on the Spirit's work every day for you to understand God and to know God. So Paul prays that the Spirit would give us wisdom and revelation so that we would know God. Or, to put it in verse 18, notice, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's the ancient Greek concept of having the light bulb come on in your minds. You know how that happens? You're like, the light bulb goes on. That's what he's praying, that the Spirit would make the lights go on in our understanding, in our hearts, so that we could know God. So, in our text, we have three specific ways that the Spirit will help us know God better. Okay? So he doesn't stop and say, I pray that you may know God better. He says, here, this is how I'm praying specifically that you will know God and His salvation more. So three ways that the Spirit opens our hearts to the greatness of God's salvation. So the first one, in verse 18, is that you would know the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. The calling, our calling, is verses 3 to 14. That is what God has done for us. That is what God has done in our lives. That is His calling. And Paul prays that he would know the hope that that calling brings. The calling that we have has hope beyond any hope you can have in this world. Our future is incredibly bright. You know, we often set our hope on things on this earth, our money, our job, our possessions, our leaders in the country, our skills, or wisdom. But all those things will die with us. There's not really good places to set our hope. God has given us eternal hope. eternal life with him forever. So what's Paul saying basically to us? Hey, you guys need lots of help putting your hope in the right place. That's why we need the Spirit to show us the hope that God has given us. Yes, we can sing the songs. We know that we're going to heaven if you know Christ. But is it your primary hope that drives you in life? That's why we need the Spirit. The second way that we would grow in knowing God is to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, at this point, you're like, Paul, settle down. You're getting a little bit carried away. You're stringing these words together with long, complex clauses and phrases, and I'm getting lost, okay? So, yes, I think Paul's getting excited here. I think he's saying, this is amazing! I just want to write long sentences about it. And that's what makes sometimes the Apostle Paul hard to read. King James says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So what does that mean? So he's praying this, we should probably understand what he's praying for. Now this inheritance is different from the inheritance in verse 13 and 14. That's our inheritance that God has for us. This inheritance is God's inheritance, his inheritance. So God's inheritance, especially as you read the Old Testament, God's inheritance is his people. Like, so God, what does God look forward to? His inheritance is his own people. Isn't that pretty cool? His inheritance in the saints, that's us. This is another way of saying that Christians belong to God, that we are his inheritance. It says that we would understand the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we not only need to see that we are God's inheritance, that we belong to God, but we also need to see how rich and amazing and glorious that is, that we actually belong to God. So let's put it all together for us. We need to see how amazing it is just to belong to God. You put it this way. We need to see how amazing it is to be God's children. I know. I mean, when you got saved, you knew that you were God's child. You read that in the Bible. But do you know how incredible it is? What an incredible privilege it is just to be God's child? Because we want other things on top of that. Like, God, just give me other things. No, it's just incredible that we belong to God and that God delights to have us as his own. And then the third, the hope of his calling, how amazing it is to be his children. And then thirdly, the exceeding greatness of his power. The exceeding greatness of his power. We know God is powerful. You know, you can teach your 2 or 3-year-old that God is powerful. You don't need to be a believer to know that God is powerful. But we need to know, we need the Holy Spirit's help to know how great that power is. You know, frankly, when things are going rough in our lives, we doubt that God will use his power for us. We're like, yeah, God is powerful, but maybe not in my life. But it says his great power works toward everyone who believes in Jesus. And in verses 20 to 23, Paul explains what kind of power that is. It's a power that raised Christ from the dead. That's really powerful. It's the same power that seated Christ above every competing power. He's reigning as king above the universe. It's the power that set Christ as head, as the leader over the church. That kind of power works in us who believe. We doubt it. We struggle to understand that God's power is indeed working in us. And we need the Holy Spirit's help to see how great that power is working in us. So Paul has announced his great blessing, our great blessings to his readers. Paul has prayed that the Spirit would open our eyes to see how great these blessings are. Now, I would assume that every Christian in this room would confess that we do not treat these blessings as the greatest blessings in the world. I think if we're being honest, to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm glad to be saved, but sometimes on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, there's other blessings I would rather have than salvation. That's why we need the work of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit does not work, we will not see how great our salvation really is. So not only in our salvation, but in our growth in the Lord, we are dependent on the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like dumpster diving behind a steakhouse. Have you ever thought of how stupid it would be to dumpster dive behind a steakhouse if you had plenty of money to go into the steakhouse? So what's happening, we're in the dumpster, and we're rummaging around for delicious food. Our friends are outside the dumpster saying, "What in the world are you doing in there? The steakhouse is over there." And we say, "You know, these two-day-old onion rings are fantastic. They're aged to perfection. And this piece of steak, it really isn't too moldy. It will do." Our friends are saying, "You're in a dumpster. The steakhouse is over there." You know, without the Holy Spirit's work, we're going to be dumpster diving behind a steakhouse. We're going to be contenting ourselves with the fake and lesser blessings of this world. We will rummage in the dumpster until the Spirit turns the lights on in our hearts. Then we will see where the steakhouse is. We will see there is the greatest blessing ever. We listen to God's Word. We come to church. We open the Bibles as families during the week. We think about how great our salvation is. But we must pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would turn the lights on in our hearts. Only with His work we will count our salvation as the greatest blessing ever. So I want to conclude then talking about praying for the Spirit's work in our hearts. How do you pray? Do you pray like this? I mean, maybe not in these long sentences like Paul did. But do you pray with these themes and this focus? Do you ask God for His Spirit to turn the lights on in your heart so that you can know Him better? Do you pray that you would see how amazing your salvation is? We should pray this prayer, not only because it is in the Bible, but because it is an essential part to growing as a Christian. Now I say, "Pastor, I haven't made a habit of praying this prayer, but I know that God has helped me to know Him better." Well, that's called grace. Because we can't control the Holy Spirit. We can't control God by our prayers. It's all grace that we even grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God invites all of us as Christians to participate in His work by prayer. God wants us to be involved in His work in our lives by prayer. There is unimaginable blessings to be seen, and God wants us to pray so we can see it. Pray it for yourself, pray it for us as a church. This is what Paul's praying for them as a church. But pray it for yourself, pray it for us. Now, you may say, "Pastor, there are a lot of words in Ephesians 1. I don't understand it all." That's fine. I don't either. Start small. "God, help me to know You more." I think everyone can do that. Or, "Father, would You open my eyes by the Spirit so I can see how great Your salvation is?" It can grow from there. "Dear Father, help me to see the hope of Your calling. Help me to understand how amazing it is just to be Your child. Help me to see how great Your salvation, how great Your power is." God answers these prayers. God wants to answer these prayers. God wants you to pray them. And you know, the crazy thing about this prayer is, like, how do you know when it's answered? Okay, let's say you have a surgery coming up, and we pray for your surgery, and the surgery works, and you get healed. Okay, we know how that prayer got answered. God answered the prayer, and you were healed. How do you know this prayer is answered? I think it's really cool because we cast ourselves on God, not only to answer this prayer, but to see how He will answer it in our lives and in our church. I don't know the journey of my sanctification. I don't know our journey of growth in the Lord as a church, but God does. So how do you know this prayer is answered? Well, it takes time. Lots of time. And I think as you start praying this, you start to have your eyes open to see when it's answered in brothers and sisters around you. So as I have prayed this prayer for us, for you, I've seen it answered in many of your lives. You're not eating rubbish, but you're delighted in Christ. Whenever that's happening, God is answering this prayer. Some of you are happy just to belong to God. You might be sad, but you're not hopeless. You are trusting God's power instead of your feeble efforts. You are knowing God more. You are knowing His holiness. You're knowing His love. That is that prayer answered in your lives. You want to love Christ more. You want to know Him more. That is the prayer being answered. The Spirit is working in us as a church. He is working in your lives. We are not dumpster diving. We are eating the great steak that Christ has given us. Dear friends, the blessings here in Ephesians 1 are tremendous, and we will basically spend all eternity enjoying them and celebrating them. Let us pray these prayers. Let us pray these prayers waiting on the Holy Spirit to answer them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all the rich blessings you have given us in Christ. And we confess it is easy to go dumpster diving for the lesser and fake blessings in this world. But Father, I pray that you would turn the lights on in our hearts so that we would know you more. I pray that you would turn on the lights in our hearts so that we would know the hope that we have in Jesus, so that we would know how amazing it is just to be your children, and that we would know the power that works in us who believe. We pray that you would answer this by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.